Okay, very exciting. We're picking up with the new Masechta. We're learning Masechta Moed Katan now. Very exciting. Again, it's nice that you feel Hashlama and only 29 Dapim over here, and we'll be able to finish the Masechta. So just to give a small introduction to Maseches Moed Katan. So we know that 2 times a year, on Pesach and on Sukkot, there isn't just the time of Yamim Tovim, but there is the period what's called Chol HaMoed as well. Chol HaMoed literally means the Chol is the mundane, and the Chol, but it's Moed, but it's also considered a Chag. The name comes from the fact that unlike the beginning of Yom Tov, which is just fully days that you're not allowed to do anything else on the purpose, there are some malachas which are going to be permitted at a certain thing level. It's a little bit like Chol, the idea of Chol HaMoed. The way that the Chazal told us is more calls it a moed katan, calls it moed katan, like a literally a smaller minor festival. Why? Because it's opposed to Yom Tov. Again, it's more kal. There are different things that are going to be makel on that is going to be permitted to do on Chol HaMoed. There's a major machlokas Rishonim whether malacha on Chol HaMoed is an iser de areisa or an iser de rabbanan. Rashi and the Rif are both a hold of the shita that malacha on Chol HaMoed is an iser de areisa, as opposed to. So then you're going to have the question, though, meaning according to them, how is it we're going to see Davar HaAved and Ochel Nefesh, well, Ochel Nefesh, that's already from Yom Tov, but Tzarchei Rabim, different things which are going to be very, and Torah HaMoed, the three major kulas that lead to a lot of the reasons we're making on Malacha and Chol HaMoed, how is that in the world going to be mutter? And Isser Deraisa, for regards to Yom Tov, none of those things are applicable. So they come up with the concept based on the Gemara Chagiga, Lo Masr Nakasuv Ela Chachamim, that when it says Kol Malacha, the Chazal have the ability to define what Malacha is us or what Malacha is mutter, and that'll have tokif on a level of de'oreisa. Many use this phrase and borrow this phrase for many different halachas, this concept, let's say benching. If we assume that all three brachas are de'oreisa, even though Moshe Rabbeinu was misakin only the first one, right, we know that benching of achal davasavat arata is definitely a mitzvah de'oreisa. So if we're assuming all three brachas are de'oreisa, we see the Gemara and brachas tells us that later Yeshua was misakin, then David and Shlomo was b'nei Yishlaim, but all three of those brachas are de'oreisa, how could that be? So that could be another concept of what is ubirachta. That's masr nakas of the chachamim, that the chazal has the ability to tell us which brachas and which nusach habracha we're supposed to be saying, and that has a level of de'oraisa. So that's how Rashi and the Rif hold. However, many other Rishonim disagree with that. Tosos, I think the Rambam holds like this also, that they hold that this is all in a smachta, and they hold that all malacha on Chol HaMoed is going to be only in Isser Derabanan. Beiros Meh, we try to keep Derabans as well. There are some nafkaminas, whether it's the Reis Derabanan, but Be'etzem, we hold, I think it's Machlokas, Raman, Shechner Chareyom, whether it's the Reis Derabanan, but Be'etzem, again, we try to follow Derabans as well. So this isn't just a fundamental Machlokas, so whether we see it's Malacha is the Reis Derabanan. So now, what generally the rule is, this is the general rule, that all Malachas that are Asr on Shabbos and Yom Tov are Asr on Chol HaMoed as well, and this is going to apply even to Dinim Derabanan, and this is going to have, again, there are going to be exceptions, and major exceptions which will lead to the fact that that we know nowadays, you know, that we do a lot of different things. But again, at the end of the day, the primary rule is that they're compared to Shabbos and Yom Tov, and those malachas would apply Bizman Hazeh as well. And this is something that Rav Neventhal, I've heard B'Shem Rav Neventhal before, I've never heard him say it, but I've heard B'Shem Rav Neventhal, he says that those are two things that need major chizuk, specifically in Chutz La'aretz, is working on Chol HaMoed. And Be'ez Hashem, we learn this Masechta, we go through it, and Mitzvah Hashem, we'll have more understanding of what's mutter, what's not. And also, he said, I think Amir Lanachri on Shabbos, Amir Lanachim on Shabbos, those Yisrael, and learn the categories and understand that really the Betz are not really allowed to do a lot of things for you. Okay, but that's where we're going to work on one at a time. Let's work on the Malachas of Chol HaMoed, Be'ez Hashem will understand it more, and be able to mash them and understand the Halachas more. So that is the categories of, that is what, that it's Usher. And now, let's get to some of the exceptions, is Davar Aved, something that's going to be lost. It's permitted to do Malach on Chol HaMoed if it's preventing a loss, not to just allow you to gain something. The words going to be very clear on Daf Beis already. Not to allow you to gain something else, you're going to losing it. That's not called a loss. It's where you have something in place, you have something in place, you already own something, and that loss of the field or the loss of that thing is going to be prevalent, as opposed to just losing an opportunity to buy a field. There's a crazy sale. That is not called a financial loss. Then Ochel Nefesh is going to be permitted, even for Malachas more than Shabbos and Yom Tov. Well, Shabbos totally Asur Sudaraisa, but on Yom Tov, where you have, let's say the Gemara says a tochen and tzad, two grinding and trapping, those things are considered usher to do on Yom Tov because they're going to be preliminary act. Those are going to be something which is mutter to do. Those are going to be mutter to do on Chol HaMoed, and also even like building an oven, which is usher to do on Yom Tov, that's also going to be mutter on Chol HaMoed. Then there's another heter of a poel she'in ma le'ochel. Someone doesn't have the basic money to purchase food. We don't require him to sell his possessions. Rather, he'd be allowed to work in order to provide for himself. And then tzarchei ha'moed. Tzarchei ha'moed is to enhance the oneg of the moed. So that again, that's going to lead to a lot of heterim b'zman hazeh. Like let's say driving is a malacha. How is that mutter? The tzarchei ha'moed that you need to go to shul. That's going to enhance your moed not to walk, and it's going to enhance your moed not to. But even that, all these things are shalas. Halachas of chomed are very, very complicated halacha ma'isa. And tzarchei rabim is something which is communal need that is going to be permitted also. And when it comes to this, even certain heterim are not going to apply when it's a tirchei yisera. If there's excessive work and it's very, very tedious, that's going to be something which is going to be very problematic to do on Chol HaMoed. And also, if there's a problem, Chazal tells us of Mechavein Melach to LaMoed, someone who's scheduling is very specifically for Chol HaMoed, if they happen to do something before, the Mishnayos are going to enter. That's why the whole shaving and different things are going to be usher, getting a haircut. Those are all things you should have taken care of and specifically come into the Moed nice. Before the Yomtiv, before the Moed. Derech Schirus, also working prior, even but is not allowed to work for pay. That is a major shayla and parhesia, and where something is in a public setting and it's going to lead to marasayim potentially, that is going to be a very problematic. Then we're going to go down Agav, because we mentioned about the Avel, and we're going to get into all the Hilchos Avelos. So all the third parak is going to discuss Hilchos Avelos. None of them should be there should be halacha v'lola ma'isa. We shouldn't experience any Avelos Be'ez Hashem. And so that, I think we already started the Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, Mashkin Beis HaShalachi Bavoy, that a person is allowed to water an irrigated field. Because if you have a field like on a mountain, which it's not going to have enough to have the rainfall enough, so therefore it needs a constant flow of rainwater. B'moed of a shvias, so we're already comparing, as we're showing to discuss, now we're mentioning Shemitah, because the halachas of Shemitah are very similar to the halachas of Chol HaMoed, so we're going to see certain things in Machlokas Rishonim, which one applies to Shemitah and which one don't, because we already started comparing here the concept of Shemitah. Bein Remayan Shiyatza B'tchila, whether we're talking about a newly emerged spring, one had begun to flow just recently, or Bein Remayan Shaloyatza B'tchila, whether we're talking about a spring that is not newly emerged. What's the difference between the two? The difference is that the walls of a newly emerged spring are not yet sturdy, and where we might have a chshash, that the Gemara is going to mention this, that it's going to fall down, and then it's going to take a tirchei yisera. The whole walls of this thing are going to fall, and in that case, it's going to create a tirchei yisera to fix it. So that is telling us that they're telling us that no matter what type of spring it is, it's going to be mutter to fix it, to take care of it on Chol HaMoed. Aval ein mashkin, however, one is not allowed to worry, and even an irrigated field, lo b'mei geshavim lo b'mei kilo, neither from a pool of rainwater nor through water of a well. And this is what the Gemara is going to tell us, because of tirchei yisera. This is again excessive work that you're not supposed to be doing on Chol HaMoed. Ve'ein osin ugios ligafanim, and that person not supposed to make a ditch around the grapevine like water. This also is going to be a problem of tirchei yisera. So that also, the last two, the malachas that we just mentioned, apply only to Chol HaMoed and not to Shemitah. During Shemitah, there's no problem, according to Rishonim, of tirchei yisera. Tirchei yisera doesn't apply. It's only the problem is whether or not you're actually actively preventing the loss of the field, or you're actually increasing your planning on planting, doing things that are actually, that's a very big, hard gather to match them. Also, b'zman hazeh, even, it's a big shaila, and it's very no gainer. It's Yisrael, all the fields that are Baruch Hashem, properly keeping Shemitah. They have to know exactly which things are allowed to do, because anything that's going to prevent something as being an issue for following year is going to be mutter. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer, Ein Osin, again, not a blanket rule, but that's really etzem what goes on. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer, Ein Osin is ha'ama b'tchila b'moed v'shvias. One may not dig a new irrigation canal during Chol HaMoed or during Shemitah. An irrigation canal is called an ama because Rashi explains, Rashi and the Rif, not over here, that it's usually an ama deep, and therefore it's used to direct water through the field from field to field. And that is going to be Asr because, again, of Tirchei Yisera, the Gemara is going to discuss these points, but that's why it's Asr. You're not allowed to make a new irrigation field of Chol HaMoed during Shemitah. As we just pointed out, again, because of he thinks it's going to be a problem of potentially needing to Tirchei Yisera. And v'chachamim omrim, osin esamah b'tchila b'shvias, you're allowed to create this new irrigation canal during Shemitah. Misakun esamah malkos b'moed, repair damaged ones during Chol HaMoed. So that's going to be mutter according to the chachamim. Misakun esakul kuli amayim, shabrish esamah menorah repair, if you have a cistern in the public domain. V'chotin osan, you're also allowed to clear them out allowed to clear them out of any pebbles or anything like that that fall into them. That's going to be mutter. And misakin sadrachim. Again, this is now the heter of tzarcha rabim. Misakin sadrachim ve'esar rachovos. One may repair the roads and the streets. Ve'es mikvos amayim and also the mikvahs. Ve'osin kol tzarcha rabim. And allowed to take all of the public needs. Allowed to do anything that needs to be taken care of for the public. You're allowed to mark the graves. Marking the graves is going to be a major help for everybody, because that is even with by pouring lime over them to warn people who want to remain tar and truma, and also people who are going to go for the aliyah regal to make sure that it's not going to be tamei. And also you're allowed to go out for klaim. We saw this before. This was during the time of Pesach. The chiddush according to Ben Yerushalayim, there's no really tircha yisira involved. Really, just the mishnah is just pointing out that during the time for this point was that the shlicha basin would go out, the agents of the basin would go out during the time of Chol HaMoed Pesach. That's the chiddush of here, why we mention this point. There really is no tircha yisira for them to go out and check and make sure people aren't being mekayim klaim. So now the Mishnah says, the Gemara is analyzing the first part of the Mishnah, which told us that Hashtei Shlomer Memayan Shiyatza Betchila. Now, if you're going to tell me that a newly emerged spring, where you could argue Da'asel and Puya, that maybe that the walls of the spring are going to come to collapse, and then you're going to have a Tircha Yosira, yet the Halacha in the Mishnah tells you, Mashkin, they are allowed to water them on Cholamayin, Memayan Shalom Yatza Betchila. So from a spring that is not newly emerged, Lo Asel and Puya, which is not going to come to collapse, I mean, by it, then is it necessary to tell me that it's going to permit it? For sure, it's not going to be permitted, because there's no chash. The only chiddush is by a new one. So kol shekein by a not new one, then it's going to be totally mutter. So the Gemara says now, the Gemara answers, no, amrei itzrich. So they said, it is necessary, because had the Mishnah stated only with regards to a newly emerged spring, I would have thought that hacha, who debase hashlichin in, base balo, that only in this case, when it comes to an irrigated field, it's allowed to be watered, but a rainwater field is not allowed, mishum da'aisa len puya, because we're concerned that the walls of the spring may come to collapse. A rainwater field, the base of Baal, is a field which is going to be in a valley, which can not survive on rainwater alone, and does not, it can survive on rainwater alone, and it does not need extra watering to prevent damage to its crops. Since the watering is not going to be essential to prevent the loss, I would have thought that the Chachamim were machmir and did not permit watering from a newly emerged spring where there is a danger that the walls will collapse and the owner will come to repair it. I would have thought that that's going to be usher. However, with a spring that is not newly emerged, where its walls are not going to collapse, I might have said that even a rainwater field may also be watered from this. The Mishnah therefore is teaching the halacha that it wouldn't matter with regards to a newly emerged spring or a spring that has not yet come out yet. An irrigated field is allowed to be watered it's going to be allowed to be watered. However, if it's a rainwater field, because we just pointed out, a rainwater field does not require any of these things, then it's going to be usur. So the Gemara says, "Umay mashma dahi beis hashlichin lishna detzachusahi." Where do we learn that the lashon of beis hashlichin is an expression that it's thirsty? The field is thirsty water. Kido, it needs the water. That the pasuk tells us that we were afraid to be exhausted. Melchamas Amalek. We're going to be reading about this very soon. We're going to be reading about Melchamas Amalek. And the Rashi points out that the letters the Ches and the He are interchangeable. So the word Shalhei, which we find in Targum Milkos, means Shalhei, which is lashon of a thirsty field. That means that if we're thirsty, we're going to enter Mashalai, that's the lashon of the Targum Unculus, and therefore we're able to understand that this pasuk is referring to faint and faint from thirst, and that's when Amalek Dafka tried to, like the mashal, right? We were like a boiling thing that everyone was afraid to touch, put in their feet in this water, in this bath, and yet they came and they cooled us down. That's the Bechin of Amalek, is that they're trying to show us that we're not great. Anytime that you have something telling you can't do something, you should realize that's a bechin of a malik, and you obviously can do it. So the Gemara now says, side point now, bad too. The lashon of beis hashlichin. So the Gemara says, my mashma, the beis abal lishna beis rabehu. And how do I know the lashon of beis abal is something which is literally being settled, meaning a field that does not need any more rainwater, a human rainwater, that it's going to be enough from whatever rain, the natural rainwater that comes out about it. Tichsev kivar bachur besula. The pasuk says, as a bachur, someone who's considered a young person, is yival, is going to be living with relations with a besula, a person who's a woman who's a virgin. So to Klal Yisrael, the pasuk is actually a nice pasuk. It's something that the Klal Yisrael is a fitting match, kaviyachal, with Hashem. And just like a bachar and a basula, just like a newly young couple are so excited to be with each other, that's how Klal Yisrael is with Hashem. When we start Gemina, we understand the Targum Unculus for that point is Arei Kama Demosif Ulem Im Basula Yetavun Begavayach Benayach. As a young man is settling down with his basula, right, with his newly married woman who's on She's not in a relationship with anyone before. So too, Kali, so I can settle with you. So the lesson of a young man is talking about, doesn't know what, he doesn't need for place to place like he was when he's single. And that's the lesson of a year. This term is Baal, is therefore a phrase that refers to something which is settled, does not have to be taken from somewhere else. That's the lesson of someone who's single to going from someone who's married. So now the Gemara says, so man tana de pseda in arvachalo. So who's the tana that holds that if there's a major loss, that's going to be permitted to do malacha and chalamoid, whereas if it's preventing a profit, that is not allowed to be done. Meaning to create a profit, something you'll lose out on, a major deal of doing something is going to be usher. That's going to be usher according to this Mishnah. Another point, there's 2 points to the Mishnah, is that even where there is a problem of davar avid, when something is going to be permissible because of a major financial loss, that's only going to be permitted if there's not going to be a tir chesir, if there's a major work involved. If there's a major work involved, even that is going to be a shaila. If it's going to mutter, it's problematic as well. So Gemara says, Amar, Avuna Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov. So there is the opinion of Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov. There's some we learn in the Mishnah. Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov Omer, Moshchein Samayim Le'ilan Le'ilan. We may divert water from one tree to another tree on Chol Hamoed, and you're allowed to move from one tree to another tree. And the trees are going to be allowed to have rainfall alone. They require additional watering, so that you're allowed to permit. However, Vilvach Leashkes said, "Kula, you're not allowed to water the entire field, the areas between the trees. By doing so, you're only improving the productivity of the field. You're not preventing a loss." So we see Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov is holding that first point of the Mishnah that only a malacha that is going to prevent a loss is going to be permitted. However, there is a problem with doing something that would create a financial gain, which is that would be in this example watering in between the trees. So the Gemara points out that okay, that's part A. We asked 2 points. We asked who's the one who says that you're not allowed to create a financial gain and not just prevent a loss. And the second point was that you're not allowed to do something even when there's a tircha yisera, when there's a major work involved, you're not allowed to do something even for a loss. So we pointed out we've just answered A, but how do we know B? Fine, so you just learned out from Rabbi Eliezer that Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov that doing something for the sake of profit, improving the productivity of the field, that's going to be aser. However, where do we see anywhere that he says tircha makam seda mishamitle? But have you heard anywhere that he forbids working majorly if where it's going to create a major loss, meaning Terfesera, we're working very hard to prevent the loss. Where do we hold that he holds that would be usher also? So we don't learn that anywhere, so we're stuck. We don't necessarily have a raya from the Rebbe Lezer ben Yaakov. So the Gemara now suggests a different answer. Elamar of Papa, our Papa says, Hamani, who is the town of our Mishnah? It must be Rabbi Yehuda. He must be the Rabbi Yehuda, the son of Lerner of Raisa. Maya Neotza Betchila, if you have a spring that's just coming out now, Mashkin Mimenu Alfilus Sadabes Abal, even a rainwater field may be. What are the different Rabbi Meir? That is the opinion of Rabbi Meir. In contrast to our Mishnah, Rabbi Meir permits even seemingly something to increase productivity. Therefore, he's going to allow seemingly, let's say the example we had before, we would have a major deal, something which we would lose out on if it was after Chol Hamoed. Rabbi Meir would hold that that's mutter. We don't hold like Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ein Mashkin Elos Dvis HaShlichin Shecharava. One may not water only an irrigated field that dried up. So this is going to be explained by the Gemara. Rabbi Lezer ben Azariah Omer Lokach Velokach. Rabbi Lezer ben both is going to be machmer to the extreme. Rabbi Lezer ben Azariah says Yasser Al Kain Omer Rabbi Yehuda. Nor Rabbi Yehuda said Loifna Adam Amas Amayim Biyashkel Ginosel Chavasa Bechol Shemayim. Person not cleared an irrigated canal and water from his garden to the ruins of Chol Hamoed. So that is going to be according to. So we see from over here that the person is going to suffer a loss if this is not going to be. This is going to be usher because it creates a tircha yisera. That's the point of Rabbi Yehuda, the last point of Rabbi Yehuda. But we see that Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, flash out the shita, is that he's going to be machmir for the fact that we're afraid that maybe it's going to lead to tircha yisera on both ends. So now the Gemara just points out, what does it mean, my charava? When we explain Rabbi Yehuda, when he said that an irrigated field that dried up, what does it mean that it's dried up? Ili macharava mamash means that literally it's dried up and there's nothing that's growing there anymore. Lamali demashkele. So what's the purpose of watering it? It's totally dried up, but the whole field is dead. I'm going to buy a house. So shacharva mayin zeh. They dried up from this spring. However, another spring emerged on this field, and therefore it's allowed to be watered since the field can be watered from the first spring. Yehuda permits it to be watered from the new spring. For failure to do so would be a major loss, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda is going to permit. He's going to permit it in this case because you have a major loss. However, this is only true if the field had been watered before Yantav. So therefore, it's a previously existing field, and therefore it would be mutter. But according to Rabbi Meir, you don't have to even come onto that; it would be mutter anyway. Rabbi Lezer ben Azariah Omer Lokach Velokach Loshen Acharav Mayna Loshen Acharav Mayna. It doesn't matter whether the spring dried up or the spring didn't dry up. Mayan Shiatsa Betchila Lo. In both instances, a newly emerged spring is not allowed to be used. Rabbi Lezer ben Azariah is holding that a newly flowing spring is never allowed to be used. We just pointed out because maybe it's going to fall, and if it gets destroyed, it collapses, then a person is going to have to repair it, which is going to be major tircha yisera. That's how Rashi understands the Shita of Rabbi Lezer ben Azariah. So what do we see? That Rabbi Yehuda is going to Lechora. He's going to say that any malacha which is increasing profit is going to be be usher. And he holds that in Tirchisira, even to prevent the loss, because in the case of, he's going to say, in the case of cleaning out the irrigation canal, even for if it requires at that point, is going to be usher. So lechor, that lines up with our Mishnah. So lechor, our Mishnah lines up very nicely with Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, "My no." So what's your basis to assume that the Tana of our Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda? Dilma ad kan lokam Rabbi Yehuda based or shluchin in based of Allah. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda only says alacha with regards to an irrigated field about to be watered and a rainwater field is not. Elam ma'ayan shiatsa betchila, only with regards to a newly emerging spring. Turning on to the next time. And now, dilma asela and puya, because perhaps the walls of the spring are going to come to collapse and it's not going to be used for a rainwater field. Aval ma'ayan shaliyatsa betchila deloasi. So, but a spring that is not newly emerging, where we can assume its walls will not come to collapse. I feel a base of Baldami. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda would assume that a rainwater field may also allow to be watered with it. Rabbi Yehuda might not necessarily allow. Assume, like the view of our Mishnah, that a rainwater field is never allowed to be watered. Maybe that it was only a response to Rabbi Meir. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda would hold that a newly when it comes to this, the newly flowing spring is only off the fact that it might come to get destroyed, but to increase profit might be mutter according to Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. So then the Gemara says, So the Gemara is defending Rabbi, and the Gemara says that's the point. And we have no Tana who the Mishnah can line up with. We've just knocked everybody out. Rabbi Meir clearly doesn't line up. Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov is more machmir than our Mishnah. And now you're knocking out Rabbi Yehuda, and so we're really stuck. We don't have anybody who the Mishnah can line up with. So rather, you have to assume it is Rabbi Yehuda. El Rabbi Yehuda, our Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda, and lo shnai yamayan shiyatza betchila, lo shnai mayan shalo yatza betchila. It doesn't matter whether the spring emerged or didn't emerge first. It doesn't matter. Beis Hashlichin, it's going to be an irrigated field. It's going to be mutter, like our Mishnah had told us. And Beis Abal, no. However, the rainwater field is not going to be permitted. V'hai dekatani mayan shiyatza betchila. And the reason the Beis had taught the case specifically in regards to a newly emerging spring, lo diha kukud Rameir, to teach you to the extent of Rameir's kulam. It's koach deter of Rameir. Rameir allows you even for the newly emerging spring that there's a major chash that it'll fall and it'll break and you have to fix it and do tirchasir. Even there, Meir is going to make it. That even a newly emerging spring is going to be much reduced, even for a rainwater field, which you don't even really need it. So double kula. It's not even preventing a loss, and it's something that may lead to a tirchasir. Meir is going to make it on both ends of that, and he's totally make it. Now the Gemara is going to go off a little bit of a tangent, not really, because the Gemara is going to end up quoting our Mishnah, which is how we get into this, but halachas of Hilchos Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Itmar, someone who's weeding out, and he's weeding out one who's watering seeds on Shabbos. The Gemara asks now, Mishumai, Mr. Nimbay, which halachas are we warning him? We know there's 39 different halachas, and Tosfos point out, if a person is going to be chayav misa, it's not enough to just say you're violating Shabbos, you're going to be chayav misa, and you'll be able to take it to Beis Din for that. As Tosfos quote, based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that you actually have to tell him which isser he's doing, which av malacha he's doing. I think Rashi over there says even further, you have to quote where's the lav, where's the asra in the Torah, meaning where's the pasuk that warns you that this is asr, you have to even quote that pasuk. Either way, it doesn't have to be tochid dibor, so that would be very hard to find the situation where you're going to make someone chay misa for that. But either way, so the Gemara asks, which malacha of the 30 malachas is he doing? Rabba Mishum Choresh. Rabba assumes he's because he's going to be plowing. Rav Yosef Mishum Zoreh, and Rav Yosef says because he's sowing. And so this is going to be, the Choresh is very similar. So Choresh is plowing, and Zoreh is sowing or planting. Those are the two of the 39 malachas. And you have to, Rav Yosef's understanding that they're told us of specifically Zoreah, whereas Rabbah's understanding that no, that they're coming out when they're benefiting from the plants, that's the removal, that's going to be more of Choresh. So the Gemara says, Amar Rab Rabbah, Kavasi Didi Mistabra, that according to me, it makes more sense. Why? Because Madar Koshal Choresh L'Rupayara, when a person is generally someone who's plowing, his goal is to soften the ground around him. So then these two acts, the weeding and watering, is softening the ground, and therefore you're making it soft. Similarly, that must be that it's Choresh. My opinion makes more sense. And when a person is planting, sowing, you want to make the growth more productive for growth. You want to make the ground, rather, more productive for growing. So too, when it comes to weeding, the watering, the making the growth better is what's going on over here, and that's lechora why it makes more sense to assume it's mishum zareh. Tosfos just explained very nicely, just flesh out the machlokas to make it a little bit clearer. The machlokas between Rav and Yosef is it based on the immediate effect. When it's immediate effect, the person's analyzing the soil, then you've softened it, so that makes sense. Then you should analyze that point, and therefore it should be based on the fact that it's soft right now, and that would line up That would line up with the shita of Rabba. That the fact that we're at the present moment, right now, the person is softening the ground, therefore it's more doma to Harisha. Rav Yosef, on the other hand, that a person's intention, what is your ultimate goal when doing this? Not right now we look at the fact that it's ground. I agree with you. Right now, at the end of the day, it's soft. But at the end of the day, your purpose was to be Zareah, to grow it, to plant it and grow it, and therefore you should be chayav based on the salacha, based on the fact that you have now done the problem of Zareah, of planting, of sowing. That is the issue over here. So now the Gemara has a kasha both of Amorim. I don't know that by the Rabbah, but according to you, it's a problem. Your shita is problematic because the Rav Yosef kasha, and even according to us, is problematic. Lidach kasha because mishum choresh in mishum zreilo. It's also not going to be clearly. It's only mishum choresh only because of plowing, but he's not going to be. He's clearly intending to plant over here. So you can tell me he's not going to chayv on zoreya. Rav Yosef kasha, according to Rav Yosef, is also problematic because mishum zoreya in mishum choresh lo, because only because of the fact that he's sowing and that's the future. It's done right now. But you can disregard with the fact that he's done right now, that he's made the ground below him soft, which is similar to Chorish. You're going to tell me where there is a malacha, where a person is doing two different malachas in a single act. He's only going to chayav for one malacha. Rav Kamna told us, if someone is pruning a vine on Shabbos, and he also wants the wood to use this for lighting a fire, so then meaning he's actually planning on using the branches, so then chayav shtayim, he's going to be obligated two korban chatas, one for planting, and the other one for kotzer, for cutting it off. So here too, a person's weeding and watering is actually going to chayav the malacha for both malachas. Why shouldn't you assume he's chayav both? We see that a person could do one malacha and chayav both. Also, nafkamina would be if you do it by accident. Then you're going to chayav two different korban chatas if it's two different malachas. So that's lachora. That's what's going on over here. Now Rashi just pointed out also why before you're not going to be chayav kotzer also. So why you're not going to be chayav kotzer for the case who's weeding out the seeds. So Rashi explains because there it's clear you didn't want the thing that you're taking out. So you didn't want the area of the ground that you're taking out, that you're pulling out. That's therefore not going to be chayav d'oraisa. The only chayav d'oraisa is malachas machshavas, where you wanted the totah to come out, which was the case of the pruning case where you wanted the wood. That's why it's fundamentally different. But either way, so Bai is asking, why can't you assume you're chayav two different chataosis or two different malachas in the same bevas achas by doing one thing you're chayav two different malachas? And Marsha's kasha is talking a good point from Bai that you really should be chayav two, and that's how many rishonim hold like this. This din that really you're going to be chayav too. However, others don't want to say that kashas many times have terutzim. We don't assume it's not a tiyufta. So if it's not a tiyufta, maybe there really is an answer that you could be chayav only one. This is machlokas rishonim had a paskin whether you're chayav one malach or two. But either way, you're definitely the abayat a very strong taina nonetheless. So now the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, "Aseiver of Yosef the Rabba. Yosef had a kasha from Rabba from the Brisa. Menachesh v'Menachem Eklayim. Someone who's pulling out weeds and covering the weeds and therefore covering them with loke is going to be chayav malchus. We know any lav which is not nitak say and which is a lav sheish b'maisa l'chor. We're going to see this one here. Bekiva in a moment, which has a maisa associated with it. So here you're planting the klayim. You're going to be chayav malchus. Or Bekiva Omer afa mekayim. Even so, it's just maintaining klayim. You're going to be chayav malchus. Now there's a machlokas tanoim whether a lav sheish b'maisa is chayav Malchus, but the problem is Rabbi Kiva seems to understand in different places in Shas that you are chayav, that you would not be chayav to lav shein b'maisa. How could Rabbi Kiva hold that someone who's just maintaining klayim is going to be chayav? So many Rishonim understand that you had done some action, you did some sort of indirect action which was assisting the growth of the klayim, and that's when you're going to be loke. It can't be that you're just mechayav, just sitting and watching it grow is going to be mechayav. Here the chiddush of Rabbi Kiva is that you've done something very indirect, and even that indirect action is still going to be chayav malchus. So the Gemara says, "I'm bishlam ledi demenim mishum zareya." Now I understand that I hold that one who pulls wheat from the field on Shabbos is going to be chayav kapnim so zareya of sowing. Hainu dasir is riyah b'chlayim. That's why one who pulls weeds from the field of klayim thereby is going to create a growth of the klayim is going to be chayav. However, elo lidaf demenim mishum choresh. But you said because of plowing, karisha b'chlayim yasiri. Who said anything that there's any issue about plowing in regards to klayim? There's no issue of plowing. The only issue is planting it. So clearly, the chora, according to me, it makes more sense. Amrelei, so he answered Rav Yosef, Mekayim. The Braisa means one is going to be chayav on account of Mekayim, that one isn't going to be chayav for just leaving the kelayim to grow. The Gemara says, V'hamak, Tani Seifa, wait a second though, the latter part of the Braisa which told us, Rabbi Kiva Omer Af Mekayim. So Rabbi Kiva says, he's the one who says that even if you just maintain the kelayim, it's going to be aser. Michlal, the Tanakama, Lav Mishim Mekayimu. That's implied that Tanakama holds that the chiyuv is not going to be on Mishim Mekayim of just maintaining the kelayim. Only if you're actually doing an action according to the Tanakama, you're going to be chayav. So the Gemara answers now, Kula Rabbi Kivi, the entire Brice you have to line up with Rabbi Kiva. Ma Tam Kamar. So the second part of the Brice is actually explaining the first. Ma Tam Menakesh Macha Meklayim Loke. What's the reason? Someone who's weeding out or covering seeds and therefore creating the growth of the Kalayim is going to be Chayav Malchus. Mishum Mekayim, because he is going to be Mekayim the Kalayim. Rabbi Kiva Omer Af Mekayim for Rabbi Kiva says that even the one who is maintaining the Kalayim is going to be Chayav Malkus. Now the Gemara says, "My time is Rabbi Kiva." What is the reasoning for Rabbi Kiva? The Sana with Rabbi Sasad Chalos Isra Kilayim. The pasuk says you should not sow with Kilayim. And why? So the Gemara says, "Ainly Ela Zorea." I only learned from the fact that you one who is sowing with the Kilayim is going to be Chayav Mekayim. And I'm, where do I know that someone who's maintaining Kilayim is also going to be Chayav? Tamalomar Kilayim Sadecha Lo. But the pasuk, the way the pasuk is read, just to read the whole line, Behem Tchalos Rabbi Kilayim Sadecha Lo Sisra Kilayim. That is teaching you the lashon of Sadecha Lo Sisra. I would have understood it to be that usually the verb is coming before the object. Here it doesn't, like lo sachacham is lo shakdi, those things. Though the verb comes before the object. Here the Torah is going out of order in order to phrase the sadcha lo. That the next the word kilayim is the word of sadcha. It's the kilayim sadcha lo. So Rabbi Kiva has a drasha to teach you mekayim, that even mekayim lo sadcha lo, that even just holding in this specific case over here, so maybe it's a drasha. Rabbi Kiva is saying that even the lashon of maisa here is going to be chayav. Maybe you could explain like that. But that's how Rabbi Kiva wants to understand. So now we'll just, we'll pick up, you know, let's just do the Mishnah quickly. Tanan, Mashkin Beis, when we quote, our Mishnah says, Mashkin Beis Shlichim Mamoid of Shvias, a lot of water in an irrigated field, on Chalamoid and Shemitah. Bishlam Mamoid, now understand, it's understandable by Chalamoid, Mishim Tirchu, because of, it's going to be also because of Tirchu Chalamoid. Malkum Pseda Sharabanan, however, in a financial loss, it's going to be permitted by the Rabbanan. Ella Shvias, with regards to Shemitah, why should watering be permitted? Bailamanda Mar Mishim Zareya, Bimilishim Zareya is a Chorish, whether you hold it plowing, whether you hold it sowing, Zareya Vicharisha, Mishvias Mishari, those are two fundamental things which are definitely going to be usher during the time of Shemitah. Those are the two malachas specifically mentioned in the Torah about Shvias that are usher. So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye b'Shvias b'Zman Hazeh. It must be talking about Shemitah b'Zman Hazeh, which is Rabbi Huda that holds that Shemitah b'Zman Hazeh is Darabana. So Rabbi Mezer Devar Shemitah Shemot b'Shtei Shemitah Kasam Adaber Achas Shemitah Karka Achas Shemitah Kesavim. It says that a person should matter relinquish. So the relinquishing of property is tali on Shemitah, and the obligation to refrain from farming is land during Shemitah, and the fact that you have the obligation for the creditor to not collect his loans during the Shemitah year, bizman shel mesham karka to mesham kesavim, where there is a relinquishing of land, ainu yovel, then there's going to be a relinquishing of money, bizman shel mesham karka to mesham kesavim, where there is a relinquishing of lands, then you don't have to relinquish money, and then further from that, you have to assume that there would also be no chiyah of Shemitah, that the level of deraisa would not be chiyah of Shemitah. There's a machlokas tanoim, it's a machlokas Rishonim, interesting, bizman hazeh, even on a paskin, we really hold that, we hold like the Rishonim, that hold the Shemitah is bizman hazeh, like Rabbi, that Shemitah bizman hazeh is derabanan. However, there are many tanoim that held, and even Rishonim and Paskin like those tonight, that Shemitah b'zman hazeh is in fact still a mitzvah de'oreisa. Okay, Be'ez Rishonim, pick up with Rava Amar in tomorrow's daf and Shabbos.